Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, March the 26th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, and today is Tuesday of Holy Week. And on Tuesday, we'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in Psalm 71, verses 1 through 14. And I don't think we've covered this one before, so this is a new one. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 14. In you, Lord, I shelter. Let me never be shamed. Through your bounty, save me and free me. Incline your ear to me and rescue me. Be for me a fortress dwelling to come into always. You are ordained to rescue me, for you are my rock and my bastion. My God, free me from the hand of the wicked, from the grip of the wicked and the violent. For you are my hope, Master, O Lord, my refuge since youth. Upon you I relied from birth. From my mother's womb you brought me out. To you is my praise always. An example I was to the many, and you are my sheltering strength. May my mouth be filled with your praise all day long, your glory. Do not fling me away in old age. As my strength fails, do not forsake me. For my enemies said to me, who can stalk me in counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and catch him, for no one will save him. God, do not keep far from me. My God, hasten to my help. May my accusers be shamed. May they perish. May they be clothed with shame and reproach who seek my harm. As for me, I shall always hope and add to all your praise. This is the word of God for us. So as I was reading over the psalm today, the theme of shame kind of came up as something that was repeated again and again. It seems to be the penultimate plea of the psalmist in verse 1, never let me be shamed. And then it's reversed towards the end of our reading this morning, where these enemies are gathering around the psalmist. And we even have some of their language in verse 11. It says, God has forsaken him, pursue and catch him, for no one will save him. And so the psalmist begins to say, may my accusers be shamed, verse 13. May they perish, may they be clothed with shame and reproach who seek my harm, right? So this idea of shame comes up, and I don't know about you, but I mean, many different things are conjured up in my mind when I think of shame. And there's probably some biblical definitions that we could cover, like what does it mean in the Hebrew? What does it mean in the Greek here? Those things kind of feed into a similar idea. We find even in psychology today where shame just means that something has missed the mark, right? For instance, someone who's been saving all their life and they have used the stock exchange to grow their retirement, right? And so they're getting towards the end of their work history and they're getting ready to cash in on their retirement, and the stock market, stock exchange has a really tough time, and all of a sudden like the value of their portfolio plummets. What we'd say there is that's, you know, a shame, because we thought it was going to be here, but it's actually quite lower than that, right? Think of, you know, a child that some parents have, and they think that this child's going to be great. They've shown great promise in school. They've been very friendly. They've, you know, done extracurricular activities. So when it comes time for graduation and picking a career and choosing a school that will help, you know, prepare them for their career, like they decide not to go to school at all and not to pursue those dreams at all, and to move away from home and to almost, you know, disregard their family and their parents in particular. And we'd say that's, you know, such a shame, because it seemed like the story is going this direction, right? And it actually went in this direction. I think this is why shame is upon the crucifixion story as we get closer to Good Friday this week. Because here's Jesus. He's got great promise, right? I mean, we're just a couple of days removed from Palm Sunday, where these great superlatives were assumed of him. A worship song broke out to this mob, you know, this mob of you know, not very impressive people, but plenty of them were saying great things about Jesus, about his potential, what's going to happen. And even his disciples, they probably have all these hopes that something is going to happen. We do know in some commentary in the Gospels that Judas seems to have his hopes dashed at some point. At some point, he signed up to be a disciple of Jesus, right? And he thought, Jesus is going to bring the social reform that I've been craving for my community. And then Jesus begins to say stuff that's off the wall and stuff that he wasn't quite expecting. And so perhaps even deep within Judas's heart, he's saying, what a shame. You know, Jesus had so much promise, right? And so we get closer and closer to Good Friday, right? And all of his support falls out. The bottom falls out and he is abandoned. He's bankrupt. He's crucified on a cross. And there might have been some, we know the angry mob that they were cursing him, insulting him, wishing him ill will. But there probably were like many within the crowd just thinking, what a shame. Like, we thought this was going somewhere else. Shame seems to be on the mind of Cleopas and the other disciple at the very end of Luke's gospel. As Jesus catches up with him as they're walking to Emmaus, and Jesus begins to inquire what's going on, you get to sense the shame in their tone, right? Like, we thought he was going to be a person of great promise. And our women of our community tell us that he's been crucified and he's been raised. And so we're bewildered by all this, right? And so, like, there's a sense where the cross is shameful. And that seems to be why Rome used it as a punishment. It was a deterrent for other lestai, which is the Greek word ascribed to Jesus at his trial, which is not so much a thief, but it's a bandit, someone who's a dissident in society. And Jesus maybe fit this model there towards the end in some people's minds. And so here he was. He spoke the truth of God. He did all these miracles. And we thought maybe the hopes of Israel could be revealed and embraced within him. And now he's gone to all this apocalyptic speech. Now he's talking about forgiveness at the cross. He's not wanting to take vengeance out on our enemies. And so there's shame. So there's shame in the act of being crucified, and there's shame in the hearts of the people surrounding him. And that's why I love the book of Hebrews discourse in chapter 12. It says that Jesus endured the cross and he scorned its shame. Like, he was able to take something that was shame-filled, and he was able to animate it with life and promise and hope, right? We look at our world today, and there's some stuff that it causes us to be bewildered. We think that it's going in a good direction. We have these emerging leaders, show up on the scene. We think, okay, this is a person that's going to help us, and then they don't, right? And that's just not outside the church. It's also inside the church, and it's not just in other people's lives. But isn't there a sense of shame in all of our lives? Like, we haven't really measured up and stacked up to all the things that we've wanted to be, or even well-meaning, loving people in our life want us to be, right? And so this is where the cross of Jesus is for all of us, because not did he just scorn the shame in his own cross, but Jesus will scorn the shame, the broken pieces of all of our lives, right? So today in our time of prayer, as we get closer and closer to Easter, let's reckon with something personal, something where we have missed the mark. Maybe it's just we have a lingering, short-fused temper, or we're not good at following up with friends, and they are so frustrated because they don't feel like we care or show concern for them, because we're like almost like invisible to them, right? Or maybe we said something to our kids or something to our parents that we can't unsay, and they won't forget it. We've been in a community that's hurt us, right? I think it was Rich Viodas who said that we are healed in community, but we're also hurt in community. And so maybe our community has brought shame to us, or we've brought shame to our community. Whatever it is, all those things can join us at the cross this Easter week, and we could see all of it tacked upon the cross and be held there. And Jesus will scorn that shame as well. So with all these things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we'll never know the depth of the mystery of the cross, but we reflect on it daily. We reflect on it as often as possible, and we certainly have it upon our mind during this Holy Week. And we thank you for the promise that there's a scorning of shame at the cross. We thank you that even though we may not know all that happened at the cross, we do know that to Jesus you endured such shame. And it also has this sense where now that your victory can be applied to all of us because you've left something there on Calvary's tree. And so, God, all of us confess to you that at one point or another, we've either caused shame in somebody's life or shame has been brought upon us because of something done to us. So we carry all these traumas and pains, and we certainly carry it with us to the cross this week during Holy Week. And we pray that as we reflect upon your life and your love, that that love would abound in our life. And we would get a sense that as we walk away from the cross and walk to the empty tomb and beyond, that shame has been left behind. And now we can walk in the same victory as Jesus did on Resurrection Sunday. So we pray that you would fill our lives once more and allow your love to transform us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.